How about we all sit this side so we can stay the voice more focused? So let me get my. Okay. We are so blessed to have our missionaries coming back and share their work in the front line, especially our dear sister Anne. And I think actually Anne joined this church before me. And actually their family, I think, started the HOC4. We are 89, something?
Yeah.
Something like that, 89. So, praise the Lord for that. And then right now is a full-time missionary. I think we all know her quite well, except that those young kids. And then actually, even before your age, Darren, Connor, and before your age, and already participate the church service already. So praise the Lord for that. And then Anne also bring back her co-worker, Esatel, today to share God's work in their life. So praise the Lord. Let me have the stage to Anne.
Awesome. It's working. Tested it earlier. I was here yesterday with the Chinese congregation, and I was counting, and I said, I started coming to Home of Christ when I was 8 years old. I've been at Home of Christ actually since I was 5 years old. I was at HOC1. And then when I was eight, they decided to move over down closer to where Lillibrook is, the Generic Day Church. And I'm now 37, which is shocking because I think when I met Uncle Wang, he probably was 37, maybe younger. I have been around since almost 30 years since I first started coming here. And for the past, those of you who don't know me, I usually start sharing a little bit. For the past 8 years, I've been in Los Angeles, starting off going to seminary, and then I went overseas full time to Malawi for a year in 2013. And then I felt like the Lord invited me back to Los Angeles, which was interesting because I always thought, oh, I'm called to be overseas. And what he's really given me the opportunity to do nowadays is to train others who are called to go. And so we're all called to be missionaries. I remember I was teaching at Miller, and I remember the thing the Lord taught me is no matter what job you have, no matter what occupation, whether you are in full-time ministry, like your pastor, or somebody who's a leadership, or whether you're just an everyday person, we're all called to be missionaries where we go. Amen. And so these days, I get the privilege of leading people. We have two schools, and we have people from this school is young. This is probably like 19 to 26-year-olds, so a little bit older than you. But we do this school twice a year where I get to just help them experience God, train them up, and send them out to go. So these days, my missions looks a little different. It's not that I'm going out in the streets as much. I am doing a little bit of that, but I really get to see people doing this thing. And so that's actually, I'll introduce Isatel in a little bit, but that's why I brought Isatel along. Because when Uncle Jerry emailed me, I was like, you know what? I did a little bit this year, but there are people who did far more. And there are people whose stories are much more meaningful this year. And so I asked him if it would be okay if I brought a friend. And so he said okay. So I'll introduce her in just a second. But one thing I wanted to share is, I just want to encourage you. I know many of you are in high school and you can be like, okay, what's Mission Sunday? I feel barely like I'm just surviving school and school applications, and I don't even know if you do midterms, finals and tests and projects. But I was reading that little blue booklet that some of you wrote articles for. How many of you have been on one of the Taiwan missions trips here? One. All right, one of you.
Awesome.
I want to encourage you to go because I was sitting there thinking yesterday and reading these stories, and God was reminding me that that's where things started. I shared about you, my first overseas trip was with Home of Christ to Taiwan. And I want to share a quick story about that. But actually, my first mission trip ever was when I was in youth group at HSC4. We went up to San Francisco for a weekend. And we went to serve the homeless there. And I remember God put something in my heart that I had no idea what it was going to become. No idea. But when I think back now, I know that's when God started something in me. And I don't think I would have gone to Malawi when I was 32 if God hadn't put that thing in me when I was 15. And so I just want to encourage those of you who have these opportunities to go on these trips. You might go, oh, but I'm just this person. I don't know. I don't want to share the gospel. Go. You just don't know what God's going to do in your heart. And I just want to share a quick story from my first Taiwan mission trip. Not my first, but one of the funniest things that ever happened to me on one of these Taiwan trips. How many people have been to Taiwan before? Most of you guys have, right? And so one year we went, your trips nowadays, you guys go to like Taizong area?
Yeah.
Okay, so somewhere in the center.
Center.
We used to go up to Taipei and we used to partner with the Home of Christ in Taiwan, in Taipei. And we used to invite all these people who didn't know Jesus to come for this English camp. And so we would go and we had maybe, 10, 12 people just like you guys did. And I remember one year, every single meal we'd have hot pot. Like all you can eat hot pot. And we had it, I counted over 12 days, we had it 8 times. So we got so sick of it. But the most interesting thing I've ever eaten in my life was on this hot pot. I took one of my friends, she's Caucasian, she's not Chinese, and so she went with us to Taiwan. And we went to this thing and we got up there and we got this little piece of tube or something and we just, those weird organ things. And so we put it in our pot and we ate it and we're like, oh, this is weird. It's crunchy on the outside and slimy on the inside. And we're like, okay, like, what is this? So we were trying to get the translation. We're like, what is this? So we found out what we were eating is trachea. You guys know trachea? That thing in your throat, like your windpipe. And so by far, it is one of the top three grossest things I've ever eaten, is trachea. This past summer, one of the grossest things I ate was, we think it was thyroid. You guys know thyroid? Because it was also slimy and chewy, and they translated and they said it was thyroid, so we ate some thyroid. Or they said lymph nodes, but we're like, no, lymph nodes are too small, you can't eat lymph nodes, so we think it was a thyroid. But I just say that because there's an adventure when we go overseas, and I want to encourage you to keep stepping out there and trying things. That was gross for me, but it also stirs something in my heart to go, man, God, there's something beautiful about being able to reach other people that never know Jesus, and I get to try things and experience things. And so today I'm actually going to invite my friend up to share a little bit of her own story, because my heart is that we realize that we can do this. My little Chinese that I can read, this year's Chinese side message is called Christ's Heart, Missional People. Amen. Right? Christ's Heart, Missional People. And that's actually almost exactly what my friend Isatel is going to share. She's sharing about what does it mean to live out love of God. But this idea of, man, what's God's heart for us and for his people? And then what does it look like for us to go? I really believe that whether you are in sixth grade, whether you are, graduating from college and a young adult, or whether you are, I was just telling the Chinese congregation, we have a 70-year-old woman right now serving overseas in Turkey, and we have another 60-something-year-old woman right now spending 3 months in Thailand. Vietnam. There is no limit to who God uses. And I think what's amazing, I'm going to invite my friend Isatel up right now. But what I really wanted her to share, so she spent 3 months, I spent 2 weeks this summer in Southeast Asia. She had the chance to spend 3 months, and I remember when I invited her, she was in my school a couple years ago, and she really has a heart to want to share Jesus with everybody. The thing is that she's actually grown up with a lot of challenges in front of her, which she'll share herself. But I went, I said, hey, she actually went to South Asia a couple of years ago, and the roads were kind of hard to walk across. She'll explain why. She has some visual impairment. And I just, there's this chance to go to Southeast Asia. And I said, hey, have you ever thought about going for 3 months? And she kind of looked at me and she goes, well, I was just thinking of going in 2 weeks. But then the next thing I find out a month later, she's like, I'm going to go for 3 months. And when I got to see her there, it was amazing because despite her challenges, and she doesn't let any of those limitations stop her from being able to share about Jesus and just live it out. And I saw her, she was thriving, she was getting around and being able to do all the things God was calling her to do. So I wanted to give her a chance to share her story today so you guys can hear a little bit and hopefully be inspired and also be challenged to grow in our own awareness of Jesus so that we can love other people.
Thank you so much, Anne. Thank you. Such an honor and a privilege to be able to share today with you all. And thank you, Elder Jerry, for having us. And again, I'm just grateful just of what God has done in our lives. And God is no respecter of a person. If he can use me and just me saying yes to him, he can use every one of us. It's just up to us to say yes to him. So yeah, like Anna said, I am considered legally blind since birth. So that can mean different things to a lot of different people. So pretty much by God's grace, I can do most things in life except for drive a car. So I can get around, God bless me with good public transit, Uber and all that. So I can get around. And yeah, my first time in South Asia, it was very overwhelming because I don't like crossing streets, and I was playing real life Frogger. I was like trying to navigate these streets without getting hit, screaming Jesus' name a few times because they were getting very close to me. This is a very, very congested city, but it literally is just stepping out of God's grace and just allowing him to work through you. But before I get to that, I just really want to share, for us to be able to give God's love away and impact others with his love, we have to receive it for ourselves. And I'll just share a little bit about my story and how I really got to experience God's love. So I'm one of four kids. I'm 34, and I grew up in Riverside, which, depending on how bad traffic is in L.A., is about an hour to 2 hours east of L.A. And I'm second oldest, and throughout elementary school, I was regular elementary school, and then in middle school, I decided to go to a class for the vision impaired the next city over. And that those 2 years of prior experience, I think it really hit me how appreciative I am to God for what I do have. Because when you're in a class with those who are totally blind, in wheelchairs, deaf and blind, or they're blind and they might be functioning at a sixth grade educational level or a fifth grade emotional level, I'm like, wow, God, thank you that I'm able to do these things. Thank you that I'm able to thrive in school. And so in high school, I was president of, a few different organizations and very active and very involved. And I strove to be the best I could be, to be the first in my family to attend university, which I got to attend UC Riverside. But it was in my college days where I really strayed very far from God. In high school, I went to a small community church and just knew, okay, you read your Bible and you go to church. But I didn't know how much of a real, intimate relationship I could have with Almighty God. I just thought, he was just up there and I'm down here doing my own thing. But no, he really wanted to pursue that relationship with me. But here in college, I thought I wanted to pursue a typical college lifestyle, partying and drinking and just all this bad stuff. Like, think of also the worst stuff you could do, and I probably was there. It was not very good. I just, because of the abuse I had experienced growing up, a lot of those wounds started to surface. I'm like, well, you know what? So much has been taken from my life. I'm going to get what I want now. I'm going to do life my way. And, just sought out approval from men and attention and what I could get from them. And I want to be spoiled. I want to be treated like a princess because, let's face it, I was one of four kids raised by a single mom. Finances were very tight, and I didn't get to, have these luxury items or not have to stress out about finances, right? I saw these girls that had, designer brand name bags and, was very popular. And so throughout college, I just kept going down this downward spiral more and more. And so finally, a couple years after I graduated, I made a very stupid mistake. I decided to go meet up with a guy in San Diego coming from L.A., and things went very wrong very quickly, and I almost found myself stranded in the middle of a hill, and God knows where. And by God's grace, I convinced the limo driver to drop me off on a main street, so I get to a hotel, and that night, I felt the lowest of absolute low, and unfortunately, some of us have to reach a desperate low to reach out to God. And so that was Friday night, and I had to tell my mom that Sunday I could go for the church. So I went to go back to Riverside, nothing happened, go to church, and as soon as the first worship song started, I was bawling my eyes out. I knew I needed to come back to Jesus, because my way was not going anywhere. So when I came back to Christ, this was really my journey of discovering his love started. So all I knew was striving. I was striving for my mom's affirmation and affection and attention. And I didn't have a father growing up, so I just thought, oh, well, maybe if I work really hard, I'll get God's blessings. If I served a lot, he would love me more. But that was definitely not the case. One day, and I was at a church that they had like four or five different services in one day. Like, it started at 9 a.m., we go until like 8 p.m. So this one said he was active in serving in the youth ministry, now serving as an usher or a greeter. And it was 6 p.m. I was exhausted, but you know what? I can go on my second wind and just serve and experience, you know, go to church again. And I ran into my friend Elizabeth. And I just explained how exhausted I was and how I'm just going to get back into the swing of things and go to church. And she just saw right through me. She was just like, she took my face in her hands and she looked at me square in the face and she said something that I will never forget. She said, "Isatel, you are an excellent daughter and God is well pleased with you." And I was like, nobody's ever said that. My mom's never said that to me before. I'm like, huh? Like, it just, like, I had to, like, meditate on it. I was, like, crying because I never heard that before. That's something my soul so long, so wanted to hear. But that was God's heart for me. That was, he saw me as his excellent daughter and that he was pleased with me. And it really hit me. It's like, wow, I didn't have to do all these things and strive and serve in 5 different ministries for him to say that to me. Like, he would have said that to me had I not done a single thing. God's love, I had to know for myself that God's love is unconditional. And I didn't see how his love is unconditional through his relationship with his son, Jesus. In Matthew 3:16-18, it said, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Before Jesus started his ministry, before he healed one person or created his first miracle, God showed his love on him. He lavished his love on him. It's like saying, you know, "Michelle, you are my daughter who brings me great joy. Michael, you are my son who brings me great joy." Jesus didn't have to do a single thing or perform one act yet, but God lavished his love on him, saying, "You are my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." God is not about perfection. He's not about performance. He's not about striving and wearing ourselves out just to get a little ounce more of love from him. He freely lavishes his love on us. But it's one thing to kind of know in your mind, but okay, how do you experience it in your heart for yourself? I was still kind of new in my walk with God. I'm like, "God, how do I receive your love? I know I need it, but how do I actually experience it?" So one day I was worshiping, and you know, God gave us an imagination. He created us. He knows how to use everything that he's created in us, so he can use our imagination to give us visions from time to time. And one day I was worshiping, and God gave me this vision as if I was coming out of the Sahara Desert. I was like on death's doorstep. Like, I was dehydrated. My mouth felt like sand. And right next to me, right over here, was this huge, tall, icy pitcher of water. This water was going to give me relief. This water was going to give me life. This water was going to refresh me and refuel me and energize me. And this water had my name written all over it. It was there for me. But it was up to me to take it in and to drink it and to receive it. But God is trying to speak to me a lot through water because I drink a whole lot of it. But, yeah, it's like, it's his love. It's refreshing. It's life-giving. It's there for you, but it's up to you to receive it. And so, okay, I'm like, "God, how do I receive your love?" Literally, I'm Googling and searching on YouTube how to receive God's love, because it wasn't really taught to me. And, you know, I had to, like, just really understand it's in my quiet time with him when I can really understand and receive it and take it in. And so today, for Sunday school, we're actually going to be showing you how to, like, daily take in God's love through your quiet time with him. So I'm just sitting there, and I love to engage with God through worship. And I had some songs where I was able to pour out my love to God, my appreciation to God, because I saw him as a father that I never had. And I wanted to have that deep, intimate relationship with God, but I didn't know how to, because I didn't know how to have that relationship with my earthly father, let alone my heavenly father. So I'm just singing out to him, I'm just adoring him, like, "You're such a good father, you're such a good God. I love you, and I praise you." And then after I worshiped for a while, I just filled my heart, quieted my mind, got rid of all the distractions, and I just had to hear what God thought of me, as if Jesus was sitting right in front of me, and what he was saying to me, and just being able to hear those words that my Ephesians 1:4 through 6, and this is the Message version. Paul further unpacks the grandeur of God's love for us. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. There's so many scriptures I could go on and on about God's love for us. And when we really take that and grasp it, and we kind of disassociate the love we might or might not have received from our earthly parents, but actually connect with the lavish, free-flowing love of God, it changes our lives. Like, I heard another description from a pastor to imagine God's love like this. Like, imagine you're under Niagara Falls. I mean, you can't contain it. You can't control it. It's powerful. It's electric. It's just free-flowing. Like, you're just completely immersed and surrounded in it. And just imagine, like, that Niagara Falls being God's love for you. And just standing right under it. And just receiving. You don't got to do a thing. That thing's going to push you and move you. And it's good. It's just going to overwhelm you, but when you realize that waterfall of his love over you, again, that has just made such a connection with my spirit, and just knowing if that water, that love is limitless, that love is free-flowing, it doesn't stop up or dry up, and it's up for us to receive it. And, you know, the thing is, if you came to Niagara Falls with a little bucket, even a $10 bucket, that thing is getting filled up quickly, and you can't receive any more of it until you dump it out and pour it out for it to receive more. And that's kind of like what God's love is within us. We can receive so much of him. We can receive so much of his love, but without pouring it out to others, there's only so much we can hold within it. So the more we pour out God's love, the more we receive more of it. And sometimes we pour out so much of it's like, God, I need your love, or I don't know how I'm going to love these people today. I need more of your love. I don't know how I'm going to function, do what I have to do. And that's really, that dependence on God and his presence and his love is what really got me through these 3 months in Southeast Asia. Because, let me tell you, it was definitely unexpected in what God would have me do. Like, I'm not a kids person at all. And I wanted to serve twice a week teaching refugee children their letters or numbers that I didn't see tracking. And these kids know zero order, zero discipline. They're kicking each other, they're running in and out of classrooms. And I'm like, God, I really need more of your love so I can love them through being patient and kind and encouraging them, even when I want to scream and throw something sometimes. So, you know, this, as I learned to receive his love, it empowers me to pour it out more through missions. About 3 years ago, I was at a trip with my friend, and I heard that he was going to Thailand and the Philippines for almost 2 weeks. I'm like, God, I don't want to go. I was like, well, why don't you go? I can provide, I mean, God has owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and here I am living on limited income. Like, I don't know how I raise that much money in a month. Sure enough, God provides because he loves me, because I am willing to say yes to him. He provided for me to go. And since then, like Adam said, I went to another nation with our discipleship school last summer, and God provided all that money. And this summer, I had to raise almost $6,000, which I live on maybe $1,200 a month. And I'm like, God, I'm willing to go, but I don't know how we're going to provide. It took me stepping out of my comfort zone and actually giving people things, you know, donation request letters, and God provided it, but God, even with that, when we say yes to him, he says yes. When it's his mission, it's his provision. So just seeing him at work and his love, and just even bringing in everything that he needed for me, well, I needed for me to go to this nation and just to encounter him in greater ways. I want to share with you a few ways of how God's love impacted nations. The woman at the well. This woman went out at the time of day where it was the hottest time of day where nobody wanted to be out because she wanted to avoid the judgment and the criticism of the women that usually go early in the day. She knew all the baggage and the mess she carried. She was, you know, the one that had 5 prior husbands, and she went to this well and she encountered the love of Jesus. And sometimes when we encounter the love of Jesus, we kind of put these walls up like, oh, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Oh, he loves her anyway. And that love impacted her life so greatly that she impacted her entire community, her entire city with God's love. Like, wow, this God loves me, not because I was perfect, not because I, you know, did all these things. He loved me even though I was a hot mess. And that's exactly how God has loved me in my life. He's like, he loved me even though I was a mess. Come know about this Jesus. And, you know, that city was saved by his love. And so, you know, even today, we can reach nations, and even the nations in our backyard, with his love. Another story I had this summer with two of my friends. They were going to go for an overnight trip to a city a couple hours away. And one of the girls on our team, as she was praying, God again used her imagination to show her this vision of a woman wearing white who was working at a food stand. And she wrote down this note that, you know, she sensed in her imagination, spirit, heart, whatever you want to call it. And she shared it with her team. She was like, hey, I think you should go look for this woman wearing white who's working at the food stand. Sure enough, my friends in their town say they're going into this town. And they're like, hey, we want to pray for people. Do you know anyone who needs healing? And they encounter the woman at the food stand wearing white, and she brings them to this family. And the husband, the breadwinner of the family, he was paralyzed for 7 years. His neighbor was jealous of the blessing and the provision and, you know, all this man had, and hired a witch doctor, which is very rapid, very like a regular thing in that country, to use black magic and curse this man. So he was paralyzed for 7 years, could not walk, could not provide for his family, so he felt that shame and guilt of his wife having to work to provide for the family, and it just made him very depressed, understandably. But these two guys just came and talked to him and offered to pray for him, but then being trained and knowing that, you know, we can pray for you, but sometimes there's things that block our healing, like unforgiveness. So they asked him, have you forgiven this person that cursed you? And this guy said, well, I can't do that. How can I do that? This guy won't even talk to me, let alone me go and talk to him to forgive him. And they're like, well, you know, you don't have to go and talk to him in his face. You can just talk with God and forgive him in your heart. That's what matters most. And so they took this man through prayer, and this man was just like weeping. He's like, I forgive this man. I forgive this man that took my livelihood, that took my ability, took my strength, and my calling as, you know, the provider for my home away. He forgave this man that cursed him. And sure enough, my friends kept praying for this man more and more, and he started to feel warmth in his spine. Before, he felt like his spine was tangled up in knots, and God's power and love encountered that man and straightened out his spine. And by the end of that day, he was able to start walking. This man was able to walk for 7 years. He could not walk. And because he encountered God's love by two guys from America who were willing to say yes to God and then lay down their life and spend 3 months in another nation that's not their own, this man was able to walk for the first time. And you know, a couple weeks later, they went back to check on him, and he was still walking, and he got baptized and received Jesus, and he's still following God. One of the translators that they went with them is discipling him. The man stopped smoking, and just God's continuing to do such a healing work in that man's life because of our yes, because we love God so much that we're willing to step out and share his love with others. Yeah, so really, what's our excuse? What is holding us back from ministering God's love to the nations? He might, God might not be calling you to go to Asia or to Africa or South America. He might be asking you to minister to the nations in our backyard or in your backyard. He might be asking you to go for a couple weeks or for a couple years, but really he wants that to flow out of an intimate relationship with you and the Father. You can only do so much unless you can only love so much unless you're receiving from the love of the Father. And again, like I said, today at the next one, I'm going to go through how we can receive that on a regular basis through our quiet time. But I just want to take us to a time of prayer and just to close our eyes and just envision Jesus right in front of us. And there might be some of you here, just like I said, just close your eyes and you know, bow your head, whatever you feel most comfortable, and engage with God. Because this is about a time about engaging with God, not about where or what everyone else thinks and all that. And so some of you might be saying, you know what? That's great that you get to experience God's love, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the abuse, the experience, the heartbreak, the betrayal I've gone through. But God God's been there every step of the way, and He'll continue to be there. And so maybe some of you says, hey, you know what, God? You know what I've gone through, and I'm willing to give this to you, but I need you to break down these walls between us. Because maybe you had a father that was home but never talked to you. That's not our God. And just, you know, giving that junk, those things, those things that hurt the most, and giving it to God, just letting Him speak to your heart and speak the truth over your heart. There might be some of you saying, well, you know, that's great that you can experience God's love, but I've never had for myself. So maybe some of you say, you know, God, I want to receive your love. Will you speak to me? Will you speak to my heart? And just show me your love. And then there might be some of you like, you know what? I love that idea. I want to receive God's love and pour it out. I just don't know how yet. I'm a student. I'm, you know, a housewife. And maybe at this time you can, you know, ask God, God, what are you asking me to do in this season to live out your love? So what I'm saying to us, a few moments as I pray for you all, just to engage with God and to see what He wants to say to your heart. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your lavish love. We thank you that even if we didn't do one single thing, that your love abounds for us. And God, I pray that your spirit just flow and minister to each and every person's heart here, that you would speak to their heart in a tender way as a father loving on their child. God, we speak to their heart, just tell them how much you love them, how much healing and freedom they can have in your love. And give them your thoughts, your plans, your vision, the same vision you gave me 9 years ago, God. You're no expert. That's why I pray, God, that you just download your vision and teach them one of their hearts and minds, God, that you might be calling them to the nations. You might be calling them to equip people who go to the nations, God. Just speak to each and every person's heart. Just pour out your love upon them. That they can feel it, sense it, hear it, see it in so many ways, God. Just speak to them. Only you know how. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Yeah, so really thankful for us to be here, and really our heart is that first you experience God's love for you, because that's what's changed and transformed both of our lives, to be able to do the things we need to do here or abroad. And just encourage you guys, missions is right here, you know, in the San Francisco Bay Area. There are just so many different nations here. And so to think, you know, as you're hearing these things, like, what does it look like, God, for me to participate with you? Let me be filled by your love first and pour out. So again, we're going to be teaching Sunday school later. We're going to be talking more about how to have a quiet time that you can really receive God's love. And then if we have enough time, we're actually going to, I'm going to teach a little bit about practicals of what does it look like to share Jesus with somebody right next to me? Well, what does it look like to be able to pray for somebody and have them encounter the love of God? So, really glad to be here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Estelle. Great message. And as a church, I want to report our mission activities for the 2019. Maybe some of you have this small booklet. And inside the booklet, our mission plan for 2019, we will support 11 missionaries and 4 missionary organizations. We will also have 3 short-term missions to China, to Thailand, and to Taiwan. So most of the youth, I think you will be invited to participate in the Taiwan. China will be a little bit tough at this moment. But overall, our mission budget is $79,320, so it's about $80,000. Very, very important. Please keep not only the money, but also yourself in the prayer, so we can align our heart with our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me pass out this pledge form, and then this is for each. So, let me explain how the form works. The form has two sides, okay? It's the same column. So you fill in one side, keep yourself. And later, you put the other side into the offering bag. And then that's the commitment you pledge for the mission fund for next year. So this is for the monthly pledge. Monthly pledge. Remember, this is not yearly. This is monthly. So this is for family, by family, not each person. So by family. So the kids, you may, when you write down something, please tell your parents also. Okay? So very good. And this is, I would say, a blessing to serve the Lord together, share His good news to the nations. As Anne and Esatel mentioned us, mission is, great, thank you. Mission is a style of life, actually. It's, you're living, you live out, and then you share God's love. So most important first is let God's love fill you completely yourself first, and then overflow to others. So I think that's what God's will, how God does His mission is to fill your heart with His love first, and then you have enough in your heart to share with others. Okay? So take some time to think about it, and then you can drop these. Today, if you already made a decision, you can drop it. If not, you can keep it, pray for a whole week, and then bring it back next week. That would be okay too. All right, so let me take 1 minute to share one thing. I always want to say three C's. The first C is great command. God gave us His great command to love Him and love others. So He is the source of love. So we have that great command, compassion from God to love others. The second C is great commission. So God asks us to work with Him, share the good news to the world. That's a great commission. The third C, I feel is the best, is a great companion, companionship. All these work is not done by yourself. It's done through God. God walks through you to share the great command and great commission through the great companion. All right? So, next is our offering time. So please, I think Howard is our usher today. Thank you. So let's have some questions.